This is the call to order for the January 14th, 2026 meeting of the Town of Woodside Planning Commission. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Roll call, please.
Chair Weaver.
Present.
Commissioner Apfel.
Present remotely.
Commissioner Gonerko.
Present.
Commissioner Tauber.
Present.
Vice Chair Gar is currently noted absent.
Are there any changes to the agenda as published?
There are no changes to the agenda and there are no desk items.
Given that, we will open the public comment period for items which are not on tonight's Planning Commission agenda. This would be an opportunity for members of the public to speak of items of interest to the Planning Commission or the Town of Woodside, but which are not on tonight's agenda. This is traditionally limited to, at the beginning of the meeting, to up to five speakers, up to 3 minutes each. Such items cannot be acted upon, but can be taken down by staff and agendized at a future meeting. Is there anyone here tonight that wishes to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda?
For those online, if you'd like to make a comment, please use the raise hand feature. And I see no raised hands.
Given that, we will close the public comment period and move on to the consent calendar, which consists of item one and item two, which are the approval of the minutes from the December 3rd and December 17th Planning Commission meetings. Do any commissioners, staff, or members of the public have any comments, additions, deletions, or elaborations on those minutes? Since there seems to be no request for that, the chair would entertain a motion to approve items one and two on the consent calendar.
I second the motion.
Could someone make the motion first?
So moved.
Chair Weaver?
Yes.
Commissioner Apfel?
Yes.
Commissioner Gonerko?
Yes.
Commissioner Tauber?
Yes.
All right. Given that, we will move to the next item on our agenda, which is the a formal design review and consideration of a variance for a property at 125 Farm Road. And I believe that Sarah's presenting on this.
Sarah, and I'll just clarify, this is for design review, a grading exception, and a maximum residence size exception.
Okay, thank you. So I will be introducing the project at 125 Farm Road. The project includes the construction of a new single-family main residence with an attached garage, as well as a pool house, gym, ADU, swimming pool, sport court, and other site improvements on a vacant lot. The project also includes a maximum residence size exception and a grading exception for site grading in excess of 1,500 cubic yards. The property is approximately 4.8 acres, and it's in the SCP-5 zoning district. It's located near Portola Road in the southern part of town. The site has a gradual slope away from the road to the back of the property, where there is a town-designated stream. As I mentioned, the property is currently vacant, and the new main residence is proposed in the approximate center of the property. So that's on the screen, that's these structures here. There will also be an attached garage here. And there's several other accessory structures that I mentioned. So there's a detached garage here. This building over here is a detached ADU. And then over here, we have a pool house, gym, and then their proposed swimming pool. And then on this side is a sports court. There is an existing driveway that will be removed, and a new driveway is proposed in the northern corner of the property. So that's up here in this corner. The new driveway will include an auto court and parking areas, as well as fire truck turnarounds and access roads. And it'll extend to that sort of this auto court here for the detached garage and attached garage. There are vehicle gates proposed, one sort of at the entrance to the property, and then two others kind of in this auto court area. There's a number of fences proposed with various designs and heights. The height of the residence will be approximately 29.7 feet at the highest point. It will be mostly single story with a modest second story. The main residence and all accessory structures design will be similar in style and materials, and the structures are spread throughout the property to create a low-lying profile and to be harmonious with the natural features of the site. And the material will be vertical wood siding, stone veneer, vertical wood slat screens, painted metal windows and doors, and slate tile roofs. And there are two exceptions as part of the project. The first is a maximum residence size exception. This is a formula based on the size of the lot. So in the SCP-5 zoning district, the maximum residence size is 6,000 square feet. However, the formula allows for additional square footage depending on the size of the lot. And so the proposed main residence is about 7,400 square feet, which does comply with the maximum that they're allowed based on their lot size. And the second exception is a grading exception. So the project includes site grading in excess of 1,500 cubic yards. The site grading is due largely to the grading required for the driveway. So the elevation of the road is much higher than the elevation of where the buildings are proposed. So there's a significant amount of grading due to the existing terrain and the access required onto the site. Engineering and planning staff have reviewed the findings for approval of the grading exception and recommend approval as described in the draft resolution. The project was reviewed by the ASRB in July 2025, and the board was supportive of the site planning, building design, community character, and landscape elements, and did recommend approval of the project. The grading exception does require approval by the Planning Commission. Therefore, the entire project shall be reviewed by the Planning Commission. So the Planning Commission may approve the project as presented in the draft resolution. You may make changes or add conditions of approval or deny the project. But that concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
So this is where we note for the record that during the staff presentation that Commissioner Garr entered the room.
Yes, and it's noted in the minutes.
Thank you. So do any of the commissioners have questions for Sarah? We can start with Alex.
I don't have any.
Yes.
Okay. If you're, hold on a second. Let's see if we're done with staff first. Matt Gar, you have any questions for Sarah? Sarah, I'm 99% sure the answer to this, but the relocated driveway entrance, that is still on Farm Road, right?
Yes, that's correct.
It's just at the other corner of the property.
Yeah, I can pull up a plan and show you. So this is like their existing conditions. So right now their driveway kind of comes in here, sort of center on the property. And they're proposing to remove that and then move it to like this corner. So,
okay.
But yes, both still on Farm Road.
Absent any further questions for Sarah, we would invite the applicant or the applicant's architect to come up and speak. You don't have to do so, but you're welcome to do so if you want to say a few words or a lot of words.
Keep it brief, hopefully. Good evening. My name is Marcus. I'm from Arcanum Architecture with the architects on this project. Oh. How about that? Better?
Oh, sure.
My name is Marcus. I'm from Arcanum Architecture, the architects of the project. As Sarah introduced fantastically in this, we have a grading issue with the site. The levels from Farm Road down to the largely flat portion of the site are challenging. So we've relocated the driveway, as mentioned, partly due to the building position, which we're limited on by the fault line kind of trench investigation that was conducted, and then also on septic requirements, so percolation tests to kind of locate that septic requirement at the top of the site. So by shifting the driveway to the far corner, we've tried to lower the actual, you know, grading levels that we're working with, so it's the lowest corner of the site, as well as maximize the septic allowance that we can work with by keeping most of the project or most of the site as natural as possible. So that's kind of why we've moved the driveway, and then the building itself we've positioned to limit the amount of cut and fill that's going on. So we've pushed it up into the hill because we know we're going to have to add some you know, earth to get our driveway working. So the goal is to have a almost net even cut and fill on the site. That's where this grading exception is kind of coming into play. In terms of the building itself, we're working with agricultural forms, so a number of volumes in a courtyard orientation, and then several outbuildings with kind of barn-like structures to kind of break up the massing and then also lean into the surrounding buildings or the agricultural lay of the land, so to speak. That's the kind of, just to, you know, jump on the back of Sarah's introduction, that's the overall picture. I'm happy to go into more of the details of the project. We've also got on the call, we've got landscape architects from Grand Studio, and we have our civil engineers at BKF. For more detailed questions that I might not have the answers to. Thank you.
Okay. Now would be the time for the commissioners to put questions to the applicant if they have any.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
So I have a question regarding the tree removal of the 54 significant trees. I'm sorry, I probably am not looking, and it's in the plans, the tree removal page.
Yeah.
Do you know which one that might be?
A02, we've got the existing plan, and then A03 is our proposed. So A03 is probably our friendliest one there.
Can you repeat that, please?
A03.
A03.
Yes.
I noticed that you're planting a lot of bushes along the bottom section of Farm Road.
Mm-hmm.
And how high are those when mature?
I am going to let our friends at Ground Studio pop in that one. The landscape architects on the page. Have we got, yeah, Johnson will jump in here.
So if you could help me, which area has the majority of trees removed?
It will be along the northern boundary, so along Farm Road.
That's right. So along Farm Road and the common property line on the north side, as well as there's some removals that need to take place on the western side. A majority of the trees that were removed, almost in their entirety, you'll note, along with the corresponding arborist report, are trees that are in very poor health. And actually, since we have submitted for and our initial set of documents, there are several trees that have come down on site of their own volition. A lot of this has to do with either mistakes in planting trees long ago. There's some Afghan pines and there's some eucalyptus trees on site that were simply planted too closely together, and they've colonized through the agricultural use over time. As you know, seeds get dispersed along fence lines, and so there's a very dense collection of trees. And so as part of our urban forest best management practices, we're proposing some selective thinning of ailing trees. And along with on the tree removal sheet, you can see the reasons listed in the arborist report for those trees coming down. So yes, the number is what the number is, but we feel very strongly that the moves that we're making to protect the health of the overall urban forest, specifically along common property lines, are meant to enhance view sheds rather than create these, you know, unsightly barriers. So to answer your question, the largest plants that we have currently planned for common boundaries would be in the 7 to 9 foot range.
So in yellow would be 7 to 9 foot range?
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Those trees, we're thinking of those as ornamental olive trees that we would keep in the 12 to 15 foot range. And those are on the hill, obviously down at the toe of the slope as you head towards the house.
All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And just to clarify for the record while we have you here, it's 54 trees, not necessarily 54 significant trees.
That's
it?
Correct.
Okay.
Gentleman was mentioning that a lot of them are unhealthy trees.
That's correct.
Be large and unhealthy, significant and unhealthy.
Sage, how are the trees counted in a report like this?
You will have your number of trees, and then sometimes not all of them are significant. So just look at, I think what we're looking at, AO2, I think. Yeah, so AO2 will show the diameter size of the different trees. And they use the word protected or not protected under significance. So I believe there will be some that for removal that are not significant trees. There will be a handful of those.
Right, because where I get confused, and then you could perhaps educate me on this, is that I would consider a significant tree in the context of something that would require a tree destruction permit from the town if I were just doing maintenance of my property.
You're exactly correct. So there's three categories of significant trees. There's a short list of fast growing natives, a short list of slow growing natives, and then there's everything else. And so those three different categories have different diameter size, what is determined to be significant. And you are correct that if you were not deemed significant, it would not require a tree destruction permit by the town. So there are a handful of trees here that would not require a permit. If they did not meet those size restrictions or size minimums.
Other questions for the applicant? Commissioner Apfel?
No questions from my end. Thank you.
Given that, if there are no further questions for the applicant, we can go ahead and move on to the public comment period. If there are members of the public either in the room, which seems to be the empty set, or anyone online that would like to comment on this, now would be your time to speak up.
And as a reminder for those online, please use the raised hand feature if you'd like to make a comment. There are no raised hands.
Given that, we will close the public comment period and move on to commissioner deliberation. And I invite Commissioner Gar to start.
Sure. So, I mean, looking at it, I guess a number of things, you know, as far as the grading in particular, it's basically.
Reminder, if you could speak into the microphone, just make sure everyone on Zoom hears.
There we go. The volumes are relatively balanced, so there's not a lot of inflow outflow. So I think that's great. We talk sometimes about, you know, lots of trucks and traffic and road damage. So you know, this will all sort of be contained on site, which seems good. I mean, it looks like the area that we're traversing of the high slope is, as far as I understand it, kind of condition coming off of the road that was graded previously. So kind of going over that seems fine. We also, you know, in many cases have looked at 35% and found it acceptable as well. So I mean, it seems pretty uncontroversial. I mean, I agree on the ASRB findings in general. I mean, the house is, I think, quite tasteful, blends in. Like a lot of square footage, but looks kind of, it fades in nicely. It's kind of like almost like this type of design, which is kind of cool. And so from my perspective, it seems pretty reasonable.
Richard, do you have any comments?
No negative comments this time. None.
Alex?
No, I don't. I think I follow the staff's rationale on the formal design review with regards to community character and site planning. I think the site planning has some constraints with regards to the building design and the landscape elements. I think with regards to the two exceptions on residence size, I mean, it's within the...
Sorry, again, could you just speak into the microphone? The people on Zoom can hear.
I think with regards to the exceptions, it's within the exception, and then on the grading, as Matt said, I mean it nets out. So good,
Commissioner Apfel.
I have nothing substantive to add to my fellow commissioners. I'm very supportive of the project.
I will just echo what Commissioner Apfel said. I'm supportive of the project and can make the findings. So given that, we could entertain a motion to approve the draft resolution.
So moved.
And I second.
Chair Weaver?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gar?
Yes.
Commissioner Apfel?
Yes.
Commissioner Gonerko?
Yes.
And Commissioner Tauber.
Yes.
All right. And that takes care of that item. And moving on, Sage, do you have anything for us tonight?
I'll just note that there is a 10-day appeal period. And if anyone would like to appeal the decision of the Planning Commission, please see the Deputy Town Clerk. And
there is a fee involved for appealing.
Yes. Thank you. And as far as you do have two director's reports from November and December in your packet, I'll just go to the December one. Most notably, something that's kind of this nice new inclusion into these reports are what our housing numbers are. And so we completed 2025. So we can note that the town had a total of, I'm gonna double check on my head, 11 single family dwellings, which is actually a little bit higher than typical. We're a little bit close to 10 or under 10. And then we had 23 accessory dwelling units, hoping for that 25, but we did get to 23. And that is also a fair number. We have been kind of hovering around the 20 to 23 range over the last few years. If everyone may recall, that our housing element targeted 15 per year for ADUs. So we've always, for every year of this housing element cycle, we have been well above that 15 number. So that's good news for the town. Well, that's good news. There's still a ways to go through this cycle. We still need to have varied types of housing throughout the town. So the town will continue to pursue the different programs and strategies within the housing element. But it is nice to report that those numbers for single family dwellings and ADUs are at or above where we would expect them to be.
Are all those, the SFRs are all net new?
I wouldn't say net new. The HCD used to count finaled permits, and they would do a net calculation, so demolished versus what's new. They still have you track the demolished units, although that does not come into play with regards to units being counted towards your RENA numbers. And also the numbers now are counted based on permits issued as opposed to permits finaled. And so there's a bit of a different methodology. So sometimes people will gasp and maybe should at the larger allocations distributed to the different jurisdictions, noting that there are some slight changes in how units are counted, which would be to the benefit of jurisdictions being able to just count all new units.
The 11 and 23 are
issued. Those are all permits issued in 2025. Yep. And with that, you'll see the valuations and permits listed. You know, we continue to keep busy. We've just received, four or five planning applications in the last 2 to 3 weeks, extending back to right before the break. So there will still be more stuff. And I've been working with the town manager and town attorney's office, and we're focusing on some goals, many of which will come before the planning commission this year, and some which will likely be in the first quarter of this year.
And then we will definitely be having another meeting next week?
No.
Okay.
No, next week has been canceled. The next meeting is scheduled for February 4.
Okay.
Yeah. So that concludes my report.
We don't have it done.
Okay.
Does that mean it may or may not happen?
It means we don't have any items confirmed yet for the February 4th meeting. We'll know two Fridays before then, we'll have it confirmed.
Did anyone else have anything for Sage or staff?
Nothing for me.
Oh, sorry. Yes, thank you. There's just one more thing I'd like to report that some commissioners are probably aware of. For districts 1 and 3 of our planning commissioners, so Commissioner Gar and Commissioner Apfel, terms are expiring here in February. And so the town is accepting applications for those that are due by February 4th. So this is for districts 1 and 3. If you know anyone in those districts who would like to apply, there is a provision that the council can appoint someone out of district with a 4/5 vote. They probably usually tend to defer to folks who are in the districts, but if there are none who apply within the districts, they would likely consider some other alternatives.
All right. With that, we will close tonight's meeting. Thank you very much, everybody.